Thakur ki jai. Prem Shri Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopakana Shri Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Tur Dham ki jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Gaudamai Jamuna Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gaur Pranandana. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vinanta Swami Muti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pachari Nivasesa Sinyavani Paskachya Desatari. Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutala Padakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnava Sha Shri Rupam Sadhujatam Sadhana Ravnatam Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadhvaitam Sadhvitam Padijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sha Vanchakam Pajivisha Keep us in the Vyava Tapadijanam Pavanayo Vaishnava Deva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's January 10th, 2022. In Hillsborough, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, Text 4. Nakalupa, I really had a hard time with the meter of this. The meter's strange. Nakalugopika nandano bhavan.
Nakalugopika nandano bhavan.
Akila deinam antarat magic. Vikanasartito Vishvaguptaye.
Kanasartito Vishvaguptaye.
Saka Udeivan Satvatambule.
Not.
Kalu.
Indeed.
Gopika. Of the Gopi Yasoda. Nandana, the sun. Bhavan, your good self. Akila, of all. Deinam, embodied living entities. Antaatma, of the inner consciousness. It literally means, Anta means within, and Atma means self. It's Antaatma, usually means the super soul. Vrik, the seer. Vikanasa, by Lord Brahma. Artitaha, prayed for. Vishva, of the universe. Guptaye, for the protection. Sake, O friend. Udeivan, you arose. Satvatam, of the Satvatas. Kule, in the dynasty. BBT translation. You are not acting, now this is the gopis. They're talking to Krishna, who is Krishna there?
No.
So they're looking for Krishna. They're speaking to him in his apparent absence. This is when Krishna left in the Rasa-lila. You are not actually the son of the Gopi Yasoda, O friend, but rather the indwelling witness in the hearts of all embodied souls. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Satvata dynasty. BBT purport. The Gopis here imply, since you have descended to protect the entire universe, how can you neglect your own devotees? And the way Prabhupada translates this in Krishna book, dear Krishna, dear friend, we know very well that you are not actually the son of Mother Yasoda or the cowherd man Nanda Maharaj. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supersoul of all living entities. You have, out of your own causeless mercy, appeared in this world, requested by Lord Brahma for the protection of the world. It is by your kindness only that you have appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. Anybody pick up anything interesting about this verse? Yeah?
It's only when there's so much in this mood of separation that the gopis start relating to him in this Aishwarya mood, where normally they just see him as being the sunny Yasoda.
Here we have our local Rishika, our Pandita. Yeah, the gopis they relate to the Lord as to Krishna as the Lord only when they are in intense separation. Yes, and we'll get to that, but thank you. So we're going to read just the commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Krishna said, "My dear gopi," and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur likes to do this, he likes to add dialogue as his commentary. "My dear gopis, who are repeatedly talking irrationally, please maintain your composure." Do we say this to people when they're upset sometimes? Get logical, get it together. "I, the son of Nanda, give happiness to everyone, Sarvananda Kanda. Yet you accuse me of the sin of killing women and betraying the faith of those who trust me." So this was the previous verses. "Therefore, I will leave this place and hide myself so that for many births you will not see me." Whoa. Fearing such a response from Krishna, the repentant gopis began to praise Krishna in order to please him. The gopis said, "You are the son of a coward. You are not the son of a coward woman, but rather the soul within each living entity, the form of Vasudeva who inspires the living entity's internal faculties and witnesses, direct everything. In other words, you are the indwelling supersoul, Antaryami. We have heard this from Bhaguri, Gauri, Purnamasi, and others." So, of course, these are lady sages, right? Bhaguri, Gargi, Purnamasi. This concept that, you know, no women or brahmanis is not upheld in the shastra. So the gopis going on. "Thus we are only speaking whatever you, the supersoul, inspire us to speak." Ooh. So they're saying, we can't be blamed for what we're saying because you're the supersoul and you're the one telling us what to say. "Therefore, do not be angry with us, but be pleased with us. We have also heard about the cause for your appearance. Because Brahma, the Kanas, prayed to you to protect the universe, Vishvabhutaye, you appeared in the Satvata dynasty in the family of Yadu. In other words, you have appeared on the sunrise mountain of Mother Yasoda's womb." Krishna would say, "If you know all this, then why are you speaking such harsh words to me?" Fearing such a comment by Krishna, the gopi said, "Oh friend, Sakya, you have submerged us in the ocean of loving friendship, Sakya Rasa." Now, is that also interesting? The gopis call Krishna friend. We'll get to that. "You have submerged us in the ocean of loving friendship, Sakya Rasa, with you. As a friend, you protect the whole universe. So you should also protect us who reside within the universe." Another meaning, and here we see the acharyas engaging in hermeneutics. Right? We get some people saying, "What is this new idea in hermeneutics?" But we find that Srila Prabhupada, our acharyas, are constantly engaging in hermeneutics. Here Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives another meaning. The gopis, another way to interpret this Sanskrit is the gopis saying, "No one among men, demigods, animals, or birds can bear to see the suffering of those who are dear to them. In that you remain happy even while observing our misery, we must conclude that you are outside these four categories of creatures." So do you understand their logic? They're saying human beings, demigods, animals, and birds, they take care of their own kind who are suffering. But you don't care, so you must not be a human, demigod, animal, or bird, therefore you've got to be God. "It is not possible that you were born from the womb of Gopi Yasoda, because her heart melts at even the slightest distress felt by another. But we do not see any of her good qualities in you." So, whoa. They're saying, you can't be Yasoda's son because you can't be a What were the four categories? Birds, demigods, animals, and people. And you can't be Yasoda's son because she's very kind, and you're not. Then Krishna would ask, then who am I? The gopis, we surmise that you are the indwelling controller, Antaryami, of all living beings. Though seeing all the suffering of the living entities, you remain passive, sitting happily within their hearts as the super soul. A lot of people accuse God of this, don't they? That you're just happily there, you don't care about it. Therefore, we cannot understand why you, the crest jewel of indifferent persons, have appeared in this world. Now, this is going to relate later when Krishna comes back to the Rasa-lila and the gopis say, there's three kinds of persons, which kind are you? And one of them is the indifferent, and Krishna expands that into nine. Requested by the Kanas Brahma, who desired to increase his own creation, you descended to this universe to protect it. But bearing in mind that by devotion to you, the living entities will become liberated, you stay hidden, Vishnugupta, so that no one will recognize you as the Supreme Lord. So you come here, but you don't really want to liberate anybody, because you know if anybody sees you, they'll get liberated, so you hide yourself. Gopis going on. As Lord Brahma once said, what to speak of ordinary men who disregard you as the Lord in your human-like pastimes, even those surrendered to you, like Jarasandha, will take on the role of demons. Thus I will be able to increase the scope of my creation. To fulfill this desire of Brahma, you accept actions contrary to Dharma, such as stealing the wives and possessions of others, and showing envy, pride, and violence to hide your true nature. Thus rejecting your own irrefutable laws of religious behavior, you have appeared in the Sapita family in Gokula. By your stealing of other men's wives, you have become our friend. Nakalo gopika nandano bhavan akila dehinam antaratmadrik vekan asartito vishvaguptaye saka udeyivan satvatam kule. You are not actually the son of the gopi Yasoda, or friend, but rather the indwelling witness in the hearts of all embodied souls. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Satvata dynasty. So, innumerable times, Srila Prabhupada and Acharyas make the point that those in Goloka Vrindavan, those who are associated with the Lord in the higher rasas, as Krishna, as Raj Raj Nanda Maharaj, don't know that Krishna is God. We hear this over and over and over again. They don't know that Krishna is God. But here we find that those in the highest platform, Srila Goswami and also Ramananda Roy, make the point that although each person's relationship with Krishna is the highest for that person, if we look objectively, the Madhurya Bhav is the most intimate rasa. And of those in Madhurya Bhav, the gopis are the highest. So if they're in this highest level of Ragatmukha Bhakti, how is it here they're saying, actually, we know you're God? We know you're not really just the son of Mother Yasoda, but we know that you're God. And this particular statement from Krishna book always bewildered me. You know, how is it the gopis? Oh, we know you're not the son of Mother Yasoda. We know, Ananda Maharaj, we know that you're the indwelling witness. So all of the pure devotees are actually the greatest philosophers as well. It's not that philosophy is unknown to these apparently simple village women, and they also know how to deal with Krishna very expertly. We see here Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is describing how the gopis are so expert in dealing with Krishna. They know how to anticipate what he's going to say, and they also know how to insult him in such a way that his heart is going to melt for them, which is quite interesting. So one of the qualities of bhakti, as given by Sri Rupa Goswami in the beginning of Bhakti Yasamrita Sindhu, and the highest levels of bhakti on prema bhakti, is that it controls Krishna. Now, ordinary conditioned souls would very much like to control God. If they can't be God, those who have figured out that, well, I'm not God, Generally, they try to control God. Yes? Isn't that right? Religious people who've come to the conclusion that I'm not God, their religious system is basically how to control God. Well, if I just... and we find this in the Hare Krishna movement too. This is not a question of just looking at people in other religious systems. If I just say the right prayers at the right time in the right way, if I do the right ritual at the right time in the right way, then I'm going to be able to control God. And of course there are many who try to do this with demigods, and not only in the Vedic tradition, but in, you know, the Greeks and the Romans and the Norse, so they would try to control the demigods. And it's a little easier to control the demigods because they're also conditioned souls. So they may respond, at least some of them are pure devotees, they may respond more to flattery or bribes. Actually, Prabhupada writes that going to the demigods is like trying to bribe a government official. You know, there's a rule, but you go to some... When I was trying to get a visa to Russia one time, so I wasn't able to get the visa for Russia, and I went in the Russian embassy, I think in Budapest. One Eastern European country. So I had applied and they had refused, and then one of the devotees said, well, you have to bribe them. As an American, that hadn't occurred to me, and it wasn't part of my MO. So I remember bringing a 50 euro bill, and I stuck it in with the papers. And then when I came back, they requested a meeting with the boss. So he said, why don't you take a look at the papers in the back room? But then he came back and he said, I don't think you've given sufficient information, but I wasn't willing to pay more than 50 euros, so I didn't get the visa. But this is the idea that demigods may be amenable to that. You know, that if you just say, oh, you are a great, powerful being. Oh, yes, yes, what would you like? But Krishna is not like that. Krishna, he doesn't respond to that kind of thing. You can't bribe him, you can't flatter him, you know, nor can you do some kind of mechanistic ritual. I mean, these things are given in the Shastra. If you do this ritual, you'll get this result. But ultimately, Krishna remains not controlled by this. He may say, okay, there's this rule of the universe that if you do this and this and this, you'll get this and this and this, but he remains independent. And this concept, again, we see even many members of our Hare Krishna movement approach Krishna consciousness like this. And I've seen people lose their faith in this way also. You know, okay, I took initiation, I followed the regular principles, I chanted my 16 rounds, I did everything I was supposed to do, and, you know, my spouse left me for somebody else, or I lost all my money in the bank, or I got sick, or my house burned down, or something happened, and therefore I'm not going to practice Krishna consciousness anymore. It doesn't work. And I mean, I know myself, I have approached Krishna like this, that I've said, I'm doing everything right! I'm following everything, right? Why did you make this happen to me? That's not fair. You know, I thought we had like a legal contract. I'm going to take you to court and sue you for breach of contract. You know, so I definitely dealt with Krishna like this. Like, what more do you want from me? Of course, then there was a time that Krishna said to me, actually, you're really just a nonsense rascal and you haven't done anything right. Another long story. How is it that these pure devotees, how do they control Krishna? Well, first of all, they are totally familiar with Tattva. I mean, we find these gopis, they are also appearing eternally as the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they're appearing eternally with Krishna and his Leela, and simultaneously they're appearing eternally with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Maharaj mentioned the other day about Jiva Goswami, how he's the greatest scholar, but he's a gopi. And he's a Manjari gopi. He's a very young little girl. You know, we don't generally expect like a 12-year-old girl, 11, 12, 13-year-old girl, to be expert in philosophy. We have in Mayapur Dham one very little girl who's like that. You know, you're there giving Bhagavatam class and she's asking, questions that are not asked by even our greatest scholars of the movement. And I think she's now giving class, at least on YouTube. Maybe now she's 10 or 11. But we don't generally expect that. Or my former student, Gopi Gita, could also do that. So when she was 5 or 6 years old, she'd be in Bhagavatam class, and there'd be some sannyasi giving class, and she'd say, "Excuse me, Maharaj, you said this and this in the class, but in the purport in Manjula, chapter 7, text 23, Srila Prabhupada says this, and I wonder if you could explain that with what you..." She was 5 or 6 years old. After a while, she stopped because she realized, she got old enough to realize that most people thought that was rather peculiar, and so she stopped that. But the gopis are like this. Jiva Goswami is writing the 6 Sandarbhas about all the tattva. What is the absolute truth? That's the tattva sandarbha, the bhakti sandarbha, the prithi sandarbha. Arupa Goswami is writing the Bhakti Vishamrita Sindhu. He's also a Manjari gopi. And he's explaining all of the science of bhakti in such detail. I mean, I find it very hard to wrap my head around it even intellectually. You know, okay, there's this category of this and this category of that, and there's this kinds of separation and meeting for those in neutral rasa, but there's another kind of separation and meeting for those in the servitude rasa, and another kind for those in madhurya rasa, and there's this category of separation, this category of meetings, and just to remember all of that even a week later is extremely difficult. What to speak of being able to explain it? And then we have, of course, Vishakha Gopi as Ramananda Roya, who is explaining our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta in such detail. And so these gopis all understand philosophy. So what do we mean by that they don't know that Krishna is God? So when they're with him, they forget. They forget as if they don't know. And we can think of a material allegory for this. Right, the president of a country, they have their spouse, they have their children, they have their parents. And those people, if there's some separation, there's some formal state dinner, then they know, you know, my husband, my father, my son is the president of the United States. But when they're with that person in an intimate way, they forget. It just goes out of their awareness that what is the opulence of this person. Because it's only when you have a very intimate relationship that the person will come under control, isn't it? In a formal relationship, it doesn't work right now. Only in a very intimate relationship. But to have an intimate relationship, you really have to know the person. I mean, I just read something astonishing in the early purport in the 10th canto by Srila Prabhupada. I think it's in chapter 1. Where Narayana goes to Kamsa and tells Kamsa, any of the children of Vasudeva and Devaki may kill you because any of them may be Vishnu. And that's when Kamsa decides to imprison Vasudeva and Devaki and kill their children. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that Kamsa knew that Lord Vishnu couldn't be killed. And Prabhupada said, just knowing that much about the Lord is what gave him liberation. Said, what to speak of someone who really knows about Krishna? Well, Krishna says, Janana Karma Janeti Yama Eva Mubeti Tafta. Bhakta Deham Maharajama Nanti Mam Eti Sri. So, if someone's going to have some control over us, they have to know us, isn't it? I mean, we're not going to voluntarily let someone control us if they don't know us. So, therefore, even these most intimate associates, they know Krishna very well. And they can explain Krishna very well to anyone. And when they're in intense separation from him, they go into this understanding of tattva. Yes, actually, you know who you are. When they're with him, when they're dancing, and so forth, they forget anything. Or sometimes, actually, in separation, they also forget everything. As we were reading earlier, how they enter into Unmada, and they forget themselves, they forget their home. And they, you know, they don't remember that I have any home or any family in the world. They only remember about Krishna. So also they control Krishna because they can't anticipate his responses. And this is very interesting because, of course, the Lord as the super soul can anticipate our responses. Krishna can anticipate how we're going to respond, how we're going to act. But his intimate devotees can also anticipate how he's going to respond. And that's how Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is talking in this purport. Of course, we can say that in the mood of rasa that's not absolute, like Krishna's doesn't know why the coward boys entered into a gossara. I didn't want them to do that. Why did they do that? Or he didn't anticipate with me fainting. He said, I wanted you to argue with me. I didn't expect you to faint. And so the devotees are also surprised by Krishna's actions. So in one sense, the gopis were surprised that Krishna left. They hadn't expected him to leave. They were fully into the mood of being with him, intimate with him after so many, especially for the silence of the gopis after so many millions or billions of years of waiting. But still, this is again knowing the Lord. So knowing the Lord on the level of philosophy, on the level of tattva, but also knowing the Lord as Bhagavan, knowing the Lord as a person. How is he likely to respond? What is he likely to say? How does he think? How does he feel? How do you please someone unless you know this? You know, you can't. It's not possible. And we find in this world so many difficulties occur because people don't know each other very well. They're thinking, well, you're going to like this if you do this. And the other person says, oh, I don't like this at all. Why did you think I would like this? Right? Or someone say, well, you're not going to like it. No, I do like that. Misunderstanding each other. Right? I mean, sometimes we've planned out a whole thing for a person and they're like, oh, that's not what I want. You know, or people do that for us. I give the example of the six loving exchanges, and when I was traveling all the time with just one little suitcase, people would give me big glass bottles of olive oil. You know, great big, or big glass bottles of honey. And I'm like, but I'm traveling with just a little suitcase. What am I going to do with a glass bottle of honey? And I'm thinking, you know, the people didn't even think at all that this person's going to go on an airplane and can't bring liquids on the airplane and then a glass bottle that's going to break in your suitcase. And I had one friend who brought plastic bottles of maple syrup in a check-in bag to India. And one of them spilled in the check-in bag, and then they made an announcement over the loudspeaker. Your bag is leaking. They told me their stuff smelled like maple syrup for years later. You know? So we have to know something about something. Yes, and the devotees, they control Krishna because they really understand him. Now, in one sense, nobody can understand Krishna perfectly. There's, as we were saying in rasa, there's some mystery even for Krishna. Yeah? Krishna creates a sense of mystery. Many years ago, I read an article about relationships in this world, and the saying relationships die when there's no sense of mystery, when intimacy leads to contempt. Oh, yeah, I know all about you. I mean, one of the best ways to keep the attention of an audience when you're speaking is to create a sense of mystery. I once read an article by a professor. A science professor in college, and he said he would present some mystery at the beginning of the class and gradually solve it. He said students would actually stay after class if you didn't fully reveal the mystery by the time the bell rang. And we're so wired like this, this is the whole idea of clickbait, right? There'll be something that pops up on your phone or on your computer that presents some sort of a mystery. And then, you know, before you figure out this tactic, you know, you may go to it and then you find it's like 50 different things you have to click on and they draw out this thing, you know, ad infinitum to just tell you something completely stupid at the end of the whole thing. But we are intrinsically wired to be attracted by something that's mysterious. We want to know, we want to understand. So although the gopis can anticipate Krishna and they know Krishna, and although Krishna can anticipate them, in this rasa, there's also some mood of mystery. Well, what will Krishna say? what will the gopis say? What will Krishna do? What will the gopis do? You know, so that it's always this discovery. But at the same time, the gopis are very expert at this repartee with Krishna. You know, what does Krishna say? And we're going to have an answer for him. And it's interesting that this is one of the anubhavas. This is one of the... When I read this, I was so happy. That this is one of the voluntary expressions of emotions in ecstatic love for Krishna, and that is to be able to argue on the basis of scripture. I'm like, wow, I'll get to do that in the spiritual world too. So, this is, of course, what the gopis are doing with Krishna. Now, they're also controlling Krishna in a sense that here they're insulting him, and they keep insulting him. But Krishna is actually charmed by that. And of course, Vishnu Thakur has Krishna threatening him, then saying, well, if you're going to insult me like this, then I'll leave you for many births. And they know that he can do that. Right? In fact, these sadhana siddha gopis, some of them were with Ramachandra, some of them were the personified Vedas, they had to wait for a very, very, very long time to join Krishna's pastime. So when Krishna says, hey, I'm going to leave you for many births, they're like, ah! But they do know how to insult him, such that they endear themselves to him. Now, this is not something that a conditioned soul should try. It's not something that should be imitated. It's not that those who are on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti should go to the deities and start insulting them. You know, this is not a very good idea. But we can understand that those who are on this intimate platform can do that. We have that was Hridaya Chaitanya chasing the deities with a stick. Right? And told they wasn't it the deities jumped off the altar and went into the kirtan? Yes?
Spiritual master that was chasing
Hridaya Chaitanya. It was Gauri Daspandi. Okay, so Gauri Daspandi, he's chasing Gauri Thakur with a stick and telling them to get back on the altar where they belong. Or who was the one who was telling the deities they had to eat? The little boy.
Raghunandana.
Right? So his father says, make sure you feed the deities while I'm gone. Like Lila Shakti goes someplace and she says to son, okay, you gotta cover the offering, you're gonna do this. So Raghunandana is like, you gotta eat. You gotta get Radu's still on the plate. You're not eating. Right? Again, this is not something that we should imitate. But the gopis they're insulting Krishna. They're saying, you don't care about anybody. You know, look, your mother is soft-hearted. Like, what happened to you? What's your problem? Why don't you be like your mother? You're not even like a bird. You're not even as good as a bird. I mean, even the birds take care of their own family members. I think it's ostriches who have, like, nursery schools for their children. I'm not pretty sure. So they're insulting him, but it's very loving. So I was, many years ago, 20 years ago, I think, I was at one of the first large seminar gatherings at ISKCON. This was when it was, now it's common, but in those days it hadn't been done yet. So it was one of the first times when there was a big gathering of devotees with different classes, and we had about 200 people there, and maybe like 12 speakers. Rajaraman was speaking. He spoke on Jiva Goswami, incredible, incredible talk. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj talked about liberation by sound. First time I met Maharaj, it was just blew me away. Bhakti Tirtha Swami was there. So at the end of the whole event, after all the speakers were done, everything was done, there was a farewell ceremony, and all of us who had been speaking, I don't even remember what I spoke about that time, all of us who had been speaking were sitting up on the stage, and this one devotee who had helped organize the event went with us one by one in front of 200 people who were from all different nationalities and cultures and insulted each of us. So usually at the end of the event, you go and you praise each of the people. But instead he went and insulted each of us. And I'm up there on the stage, I couldn't easily, like, leave. But I was feeling increasingly uncomfortable. And afterwards, we were eating at Govinda's, myself and this person, and one member of the GBC, and I said, Prabhu, really, you shouldn't be insulting the speaker. Why are you insulting Satchinandan Maharaj and Bhakti Gyan Maharaj and Bhakti Chirjaswami in front of all these people? And he said, well, where I come from, insulting is a sign of love. And I said, Prabhu, that's true everywhere, but that's only true in a very intimate setting. It's not true in a public setting in front of these people's students. And I said, most of these people were just completely scandalized. So, but this sort of intimacy with Krishna controls Krishna. It says that Krishna is more pleased with the insulting words of his intimate devotees than with the glorification of the Vedic literatures. So the gopis have this mix, and all the intimate devotees to one degree or another, they have this mix of knowing Krishna's God, knowing he's the Supreme Lord, knowing him very well, and at the same time having this incredible intimacy with him such that they can insult him. And so indeed they are able to control him, and of course, because they are able to control him, he does return, and Krishna stays with the gopis actually eternally. And Krishna says to them, you control me so much that I can never repay you. So, questions, comments? Maharaj, yes.
How would you contrast what's the exchange between the gopis and Krishna right now, which is obviously happening within the material universe, with what would happen, this sort of exchange, in the spiritual world? Would the same sort of expressions be used about Lord Brahma and embodied souls?
Oh, that's a really interesting point. Maharaj is asking, would the gopis still talk about Lord Brahma and embodied souls in the spiritual world? Well, you have two possible answers I can think of. One is that the pastimes in the spiritual world are human-like pastimes.
Yeah.
And then in Goloka Vrindavan, there is apparently day and night. And the residents there are also worshipping demigods. They're worshipping the sun god, or they're worshipping Gauri. I mean, it's kind of interesting that even in the spiritual world they're doing this. I mean, Sanatana Goswami describes a residence of Vaikuntha, that some of them appear like demigods, some of them appear like animals, some of them appear like demons, even entering the spiritual world. But on the other hand, there is a difference. There is a difference that in the spiritual world, it's not that Lord Brahma prays for Krishna to descend, but you do have the Vinaya Bhagavatam to Krishna going to Mathura to kill Kamsa and then returning. And that's happening in the spiritual world also.
But embodied souls.
But no, they wouldn't be talking about embodied souls.
Yeah.
No. And also, another difference is that in the spiritual world there's no devotees who are still in training, whereas in these pastimes we still have the devotees may still be in some level of advancement. So that's also very interesting. Yes, Rishi?
I had a question in relationship to that. Isn't Paramatma only here within this world? And then
yes. Yes, so to say you're the indwelling witness, so also to talk about Paramatma would not be going, because there's no Paramatma in the spiritual world. Yes. So this exchange is in these specifics of it is only happening in the material. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai.